And it's now 7:45. This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley. I'm in the studio now with NHPR's Josh Rogers, who joins us for the latest on New Hampshire's political front. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
Okay, so Friday, Josh, was the deadline for federal candidates to report first quarter fundraising numbers. Let's begin with the U.S. Senate. The Ayotte-Hassan money race appears pretty tight here.
It does. Kellyanne Maggie Hassan have raked in donations at close to an identical clip since October when the governor got into the race. Overall, both have collected around $4.5 million. Since January, they've raised $2.2 million plus apiece. As you might expect, given that she's been raising re-election money since 2011, Kelly Ayotte does have far more cash on hand, close to $7 million to Governor Hassan's $2.9 million. But Ayotte is also spending her money a little faster.
And now, Election Day is 6-plus months off, but I assume that the money raising and spending is going to pick up here.
Absolutely. This race is seen as pivotal as far as deciding the control of the Senate. And if you look at New Hampshire during the Jean Cheen Scott Brown race 2 years ago, which wasn't seen as being as up for grabs or as likely to affect the Senate balance as this race, total spending then was $55 million, most of that coming from outside groups. And, you know, after Kellyanne and Maggie Hassan's back and forth about the so-called People's Pledge at the beginning of this race, and whether that was entirely sincere or not, outside groups are already spending pretty big. You've probably seen the ads on both sides over the fight on the nomination of Merrick Garland.
Sure, yeah. So big money is being raised, and it's being spent in the Senate race, but what about congressional races?
Well, perhaps unsurprisingly, much less so far. In the race that's seen as the more competitive, Congressional District 1, incumbent Frank Ginta collected about $97,000 since the turn of the year, going back to when he won election in 2014. Ginta's raised close to $750,000. Of course, he spent close to half that total, $355,000, repaying his parents for what the Federal Elections Commission deemed an illegal loan back in his first run for Congress in 2010. Pam Tucker, one of the Republicans challenging Ginta in the Republican primary, raised $100,000 since January. On the Democratic side, Carol Shea Porter, who's never been seen as a strong fundraiser, reports raising $176,000, and Sean O'Connor, $45,000 since January.
So some parity in fundraising in CD1, but not so much in District 2.
No. There, Democrat Annie Custer, who's always been a good fundraiser, it may in fact be her strength as a politician, is raising a healthy amount of money. You know, she's raised upward of $420,000 this quarter and is sitting on more than $1.5 million. Her main Republican rival, meanwhile, Jack Flanagan, a state rep and former majority leader from Brookline, reports raising just $5,200. So a big gap there.
Yeah. Let's move to the State House, Josh, where when it's spring, the maneuvering on these bills and some bills can get pretty complicated. Lawmakers are in the middle, in fact, of doing something fairly interesting with the body cam bill, aren't they?
Sure. It's sort of baroque. They're trying to kill a body cam bill backed by the House, but attach the substance of the proposal to another bill because the original sponsor of the body cam proposal, and this dates from more than a year ago, is Kyle Tasker, the Nottingham state rep who resigned after being charged with soliciting a 14-year-old girl for sex. He also faces drug charges.
So is there interest in passing the bill that Tasker sponsored, but not in passing anything associated with him?
I think that's a fair gloss. And, you know, what this bill would do, it did start out as a simple mandate for state police to use body cams, as to create protocols for body cam use by state or local law enforcement. Among other things, it would specify that body cams would only be turned on when police are engaged in law enforcement activity or responding to calls. Police would also have to inform individuals that they were being recorded when the cams were on.
Okay, so we expect that to move forward?
Yes, without Kyle Tasker's, in the version without Kyle Tasker's name attached, I will say it's not unheard of for, you know, the popularity of a bill sponsor to affect a piece of legislation's transit through the State House, but I can't recall anything similar to this. But this is obviously a rare set of circumstances. Really, issues once a bill is sponsored, getting someone's name off of it may not be possible, you know, in this case, even if they've resigned and are facing felony charges.
And I read, Josh, that Kyle Tasker is actually going to be in court this week.
I think there's a probable cause hearing in Candia Circuit Court, I believe, on Wednesday.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, Rick.
That is NHPR's Josh Rogers, senior political reporter. He joins Morning Edition often to talk politics. Follow Josh on Twitter, by the way, at Josh Rogers NHPR.